This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
I do not care for masturbation. It actually just sucks. Just nothing. Just
speak
a whole
for
bunch
yourself.
Of nothing. I will speak for myself. I prefer to do things with my partner.
That's
or
fine.
with someone else. Just
or with someone else.
Like I'm saying, just having someone else touch you instead of touching yourself, to me, is just pervert.
You are someone else.
But I'm not.
For
I'm
yourself.
Me. I'm not someone else. I'm not. And I'm not doing a stranger. I tried it. It's stupid.
What does that mean?
It's where you sit on your hand and make it numb. It's really fucking nigga tried the strong hand and off hand. My left hand ain't shit. Like, that nigga can't get it done. So now I'm in this space where I'm just not doing this. This shit is stupid, right? This shit is stupid.
Wait.
What?
You sit on your hand.
Man, this is common knowledge.
No, it is not.
This is common knowledge.
Mikey.
1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we're good. 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. It's a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy, and this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an answer look into all we're learning, unlearning about grief, and learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time. Y'all, before Mikey continues with our tagline, I know it may be weird to hear us laughing in the beginning of a grief episode and of this season, but if y'all knew what was happening before we press record, trying to get our lives together.
You'd laugh, too. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with laughing at your struggle.
Stop touching your beard on the mic. I can hear it. I love you. I can hear it.
Welcome all new and veteran listeners. We're glad that you tuned in. This season's theme, y'all, is grief, where we share the sadness, breakthroughs, triggers, ways life goes on, and more since the loss of our son, Noble. In this episode, though, we will be talking about something a little different. We're talking about sex.
Yeah, we're talking about sex in relation to grief. So in our first segment, we're going to talk about how grief has affected our sex life because we are still married and we are still alive and we do still have urges.
Yes. And at some point we got to touch.
Yeah.
And so
it's a real thing that we have been having to deal with.
Randy brought it up, I thought that it was a good idea. But then I was also like, that's just weird. But we wouldn't be us if we didn't talk about it. Because literally every season, we do have a sex episode.
We do have a sex episode.
Thing, because a common theme in marriage is sex, which people are 100% aware of. But how does that tie into grief? I thought it was a good idea.
Thanks.
And so I was like, all right. I was like, I guess we'll have this deep little conversation that you want us to have. But following that is our break from grief,
mm-hmm.
also known as our fight or flight, where today I am going to be confronting Randy about how she struggles to take care of herself. And why she needs to never, ever, ever do this to herself again.
Finally, this is the one time I actually know what the fight is about.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment where we will share something we're proud of or of each other and or express gratitude. Y'all, we gonna make it. We gonna make it.
All right, let's get into it. All right. So grief and sex. It's a little bit of backstory. So everything has changed, obviously, since Noble's passed, including our sex life. In the early days of our grief, we learned that hypersexuality is a side effect of grief, which makes a lot of sense for a couple of reasons. Actually, it was Randy that discovered the word for it.
Yeah.
Because I was tripping one day and I was having a hard time struggling. I was struggling with why. I was like,
why what?
I was like horny. I was like, why am I like, I want you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really drunk and a little high. And maybe that has something to do with it. I've also only ate like chocolate since 9 a.m. this morning. And it's like 3 p.m. Like maybe there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you ended up looking at me like, no, that's called hypersexuality. It's like it's a grief thing.
I came up with my grief book that I've mentioned on the podcast. Oh, I thought
you looked up the word.
No, it was actually.
Oh, you had already read it.
Yeah, I had read about it.
I was like, why do you know this, first of all? But
because I, after Noble passed, you know, I was like trying to intellectualize and I wanted things to make sense. I wanted grief to make sense. And so I was reading like everything I could get my hands on.
Why did you do that this time around? I know this is not on the like the docket, but I remember the first when we miscarried.
I read Keon. A lot.
Keon had came to you and like he asked his professor about. I'm sorry, Randy's younger brother came and asked Randy like or told Randy like scientific facts about miscarriage in nature.
Like they happen in nature, yeah.
Because that was something that he needed to do or that helped him kind of wrap his mind around it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is the nerdiest. Most y'all thing to do.
Yeah.
But that like makes sense. Like, did that play any role in or you just knew that
you
wanted to?
I just
knew
I needed to cling to something. Books help me. They make me feel stable and secure. And learning makes me feel like stable and secure and alive. And I was sure I was dead at the Noble. And so actually one of our gift packages, our care packages, there was a book from the therapist that I am reading. Or that I read before. It was a little book. And I read it and I was like, oh my God, yes. And I realized she had another book that she wrote first. And
do you remember
I went
the
and read
author?
That one. Yes, Dr. Joanne Cassiatore. Grieving is Loving and Bearing the Unbearable are the two grief books that really got me through in the early weeks. I really wanted to make sense of it. And I was reading about all the side effects and things of grief and the symptoms and how they affect your body and one of them is horniness, hypersexuality.
I have never experienced that before in any type of loss, though.
Yeah, I mean,
which
it's
is
an adult. It gets you off. You feel pleasure. Like, it's distracting. It's fun. It's, you know, all the things you're not feeling when your son has died. You know, so you just.
I remember growing up, though, like, you know, my experience from like trying to figure these things out comes from like movies. I remember seeing movies where like someone would die and then like the woman would like go off and have sex, or the guy would like go off and like find something. I was like, why
you just
want to
feel something?
Response to your sister or your mom dying or something. Like, that's just odd, but nope, made perfect sense. So we decided to talk about how sex has changed or evolved even during grief. So let's start from the beginning.
All right. So in the beginning, if y'all don't know, we there was an inability to have sex on bed rest. I could not, not only could we not have sex. I say I because it felt very personal. But okay. Not only could like we not have sex, there was no anal, not that we, okay. There was, you couldn't do.
Leave it in.
You could not do any anal, any, you know, vaginal, no oral, no orgasms. No orgasms.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's hearing me.
What are they saying? That orgasms put you in danger of
because
premature labor?
When you orgasm, your uterus
contracts.
And the last thing we all wanted my uterus to do is contract.
Because your water had already broke.
Right. And so my uterus would contract and my body would be like, okay, delivery. And they were like, nope, we need
to. So you were essentially told, ma'am, just 7 months real quick of no pleasure.
Don't do anything.
And then you're good.
But I was going crazy. And I realized afterwards that I was going crazy because I was also in deep grief, right? I was grieving the whole pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really, really horny. It was a different type of horny than like pregnant women when they're horny. But like, I was like, what is it? I was doing everything. It was months and months of edging. I just want, it was so bad and I hate it. I hate it. I personally do not.
Okay. So for anyone listening right now, just do a quick Google search. Pause this. Google search edging and then come right back.
Edging is when you.
Edging is we're
when
back
you,
now.
When you stop yourself from. Right before you. About to,
before you jump off the cliff, you stop at the edge.
And it's awful. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And
but it makes for a better Oh.
It was all I could do on bed rest. Yeah, I was listening to
what were you listening to?
I was listening to there's an app. I gotta find the name of the app. It's called, what's it called? It's Audible. It's stories. Mm-hmm. It's erotic stories. But it's a whole pot. Like, it's an app. One of many days that I was on bed rest.
She
told
me this. Good.
But I hated it. People be role playing, and I was like, this is so.
Wait, audio versions of porn?
No, it's like, yeah, it's like people are reading erotic stories, or not even reading them. They are acting them out.
Oh, it was like somebody acting out the Zane novel.
Yes.
For recording.
But they're like different stories.
Well, why wouldn't they? Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, but I was like, this is stupid. This is not what I want. I was reading erotic stories, but because I was so damn sad and in so much grief and also so horny, everything was setting me off, and I was having wench. I was awful.
I didn't know none of this shit.
I was really, really miserable. And Mikey would not touch me for lots of reasons. And the main one was we had to get this baby in. You know, we were doing right.
I was also shutting down my man brain. And I don't know for any of the male listeners, that is like, it sucks. It's really hard to do. But like, I needed to not feel any type of sexual energy other than kissing you on the forehead to leave.
Yeah, or like, you didn't just touch me.
There was no, because Randy tried to start stuff a couple of times, because Randy don't listen to the medical advice of professionals or
I wasn't
anything.
Trying to start things. I just wanted to kiss.
But you didn't.
I did just want
to
kiss.
Because the last time you just wanted to kiss, we ain't just kiss. I'm like, I just want to kiss. No, you don't, nigga. We just went through this like 2 weeks ago, and you can't be trusted. So keep your mouth away from me.
So Mikey wasn't hearing it. So Mikey, that was your part.
No. No, I wasn't. It was very, when we get into these spaces, just like we did with the first baby, just like we did with Drew, when I'm given some clear directions as to what we need to do moving forward, like then that's the direction that I go in. So if the doctor says, all right, just no. And I also know science. I know enough to know, like, if you do something, then you're going to like contract and then like something. So like, because I'm trying to do the only thing that I can do on my side of things to help keep this baby here is to like not touch you. Then all right, I will take my little horny ass on somewhere and I'll just go keep taking cold showers. and that's it.
And I couldn't even shower.
Like,
so oh, that's, yeah, I that's, couldn't shower. I could shower like once every few days because I needed to be laying down, because every time I stood for longer than 3 minutes, I'd start spotting. Like I was miserable and so damn scared and so fucking horny. And it was
and
awful.
I'm not one for taking care of myself, like in that. Like I do not care for masturbation. It actually just sucks. So you know, just nothing, just
speak
a whole
for
bunch
yourself.
Of.
I was.
I will speak for myself. I prefer to do things with my partner.
That's
or
fine.
with someone else. Just
what do you mean, or with someone else?
Like I'm saying, just having someone else touch you instead of touching yourself to me is just pervert.
You are someone else.
But I'm not
for
I'm
yourself.
Me. I'm not someone else. I'm not, and I'm not doing a stranger. I tried it. It's stupid.
What does that mean?
It's where you sit on your hand and make it numb.
Shut
and then, it's really fucking nigga tried the strong hand and offhand. My left hand ain't shit. Like, it's just, that nigga can't get it done. So now I'm in this space where I'm just not doing this. This shit is stupid, right? This shit is stupid.
Wait.
What?
You sit on your hand.
Randy, this is common knowledge.
No, it is not.
This is common knowledge.
Mikey.
Anybody listening to this will tell you that this is common knowledge.
It is not common knowledge.
I think I learned it from a white show. Boy Meets World or some shit. Somebody
Mikey,
did it.
That was not on Boy Meets World.
One of the shows, they talked about it.
You sat on your hand until it went numb.
Yeah, this was like
and
a long time.
It's called stranger hand?
Stranger. No, it's just called the stranger. You give yourself a stranger because you don't feel it because your hand is numb. But you feel it. I'm surprised you haven't tried it, Miss Erotica. Didn't you read Zane books?
No, I actually have never read a Zane book. I've read every other.
This
I've
is
never
my
read
age
a Zane
because people are listening to like Zane was like a thing when we were in middle school. Anyway,
we were not allowed to read Zane. She said, my mom was like, you can read anything, but you can't read Zane. And I just never grew
and
out of it.
You follow directions? Of course.
So
you missed out because they girls nasty.
I followed her Facebook page for a minute. She has a whole Facebook page. People write down some crazy stuff.
But yeah, no, I was not hearing it because I was trying to follow directions because I thought that would keep my son. And no.
So then Noble passed and I was finally clear for sex, but it was complicated. So while I was medically clear, psychologically I was tormented because I was very conscious of every time we had sex or thinking about sex or talking about sex that I was having sex before I was supposed to be having sex. And so like he was born in July, but he wasn't due till November. And so any time we had sex before November, I was very conscious of the fact that my baby is dead.
Yeah.
My baby is dead. I'm having sex because he's not here. I'm in postpartum already. Like it was just very, it was fucking with me. And it was fucking with me. Like, I don't even know how to say it. Like, I was going out of my mind. Mm-hmm. I was just like, and like, it wasn't that we weren't having sex till we were. And for the first few, probably because the first few months we were like not sober, but also because we also missed each other. We went months not doing anything, not touching. You weren't touching me. You weren't kissing me. You were giving me forehead kisses. Like, you weren't doing anything but passing me water, passing me food. So it was nice to be able to like to be with you again. But it was sad. It was so complicated. I was like, this is ridiculous.
And see, also, even like in the first couple months of your pregnancy with Drew, I could also still touch you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like there wasn't the, hey, this is a high risk pregnancy and your water's already, so like y'all shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing like that. I was still uncomfortable with doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
but not because the doctor said. It was just me.
Yeah.
And so now I got me and a doctor in my head. Also, just, when we did start having sex, I'm just be real with you. It was super uncomfortable. It was super weird for me.
Was it?
When I started looking back, not you, just the fact that we are having sex right now. I was like, why am I doing this? there was a little bit of shame present. Like,
really?
Yeah, man. This is odd. We're supposed to be doing this and sneaking while a baby is close by. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, this is not. It's so weird having what it is that you want and need. And it being at a time where you don't want it or need it to be. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, it was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was just weird. And I was like, and I'm looking at myself like, you know, you fucking mutt. Like, look at you, like, like you need this.
Mm-hmm.
You're a horrible fucking person. Like, y'all just lost your child. Why are you having sex? You should never have sex ever again, actually. Because you're terrible.
Yeah.
And that's how I talk to myself.
And
then we came.
And I had to get on the pill, back on the pill.
Yeah, and Randy's back on birth control.
I got a low-dose pill, which is working, and it's fine.
Why you do all that?
Because you making a face like...
Because I didn't want you to have to be on birth control again.
Right, but I couldn't stop bleeding, y'all. I couldn't stop bleeding. So there's also that. Yeah. So we would start having sex, and then I started bleeding. I'd have two cycles back to back. I thought I was hemorrhaging. Like, I thought something was
Randy
wrong.
Randy thought she was dying.
I was like, no, I'm hemorrhaging. I had the C-section. They did it really quick. I must be dying. And they were like, well, no, it's actually normal to have two cycles back to back after you have a baby.
Randy said, hell no.
But I was like, I told my doctor, I have to stop bleeding. I bled my whole pregnancy. And now you're telling me I may be having two cycles a month until God knows when? Because with Drew, that didn't happen because I breastfed her. And when you breastfeed exclusively, your cycles stop for a time. Like, I don't think I had my cycle till she was 4 or 5 months.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I was still on the mini pill then, but like, I was like, I can't keep waiting for I can't keep bleeding anymore. I said, the baby's gone. I'm not pregnant anymore. I don't want to be bleeding anymore. And so they put me on a low dose birth control pill, which also like, it also helped me mentally because every time I went to the bathroom, I was afraid to see blood. And I can't keep having sex with you if I keep bleeding. So, like, it was just like, and for no reason. It's not because you're, like, hitting something. It's not because it's not time.
It's because today is Tuesday.
And my body is still doing postpartum things that it never did before because there's no baby to, like, help redirect it.
Yeah. It was complicated, y'all.
It was a lot.
And then also on my end, feelings were just complicated again because, like, I need to feel something.
Yeah.
And in the early days of our grief, I wasn't trying to talk about my feelings.
Nope.
Because I couldn't formulate the words to express them. And I also just wasn't open to like, to feelings. Like I was trying to numb everything. So yeah, I was trying to smash. I was like, the one feeling I can't identify is that I'm horny.
And when we would have sex, that's when you'd open up.
Yeah. Like when we finally got to like lay down and be close too. Like, mm-hmm. all right, like, hey. So now that that has happened,
I'm actually really feel sad. Yeah. It was the only way I could get you to talk.
I now have a clearer mind and I should probably tell you, I feel sad, love.
Mm-hmm.
It was the greatest pillow talk.
Yeah, it was.
I was being sarcastic.
But it was.
It, like in the concept of it, it wasn't the greatest, but I think it was necessary to just kind of start to open up the door to talking about feelings.
Mm. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
So, Mikey, you're making a face before we move on. What are you thinking?
It was just difficult. That was a really rough time. And we're, you know, talking about this because we pod. But like, it sucked. All of it. All of it sucked and sucks. I just remember when things were simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were younger and didn't have none of this shit in our story.
I remember doing sex episodes on the podcast and they being, like, fun. like, you know, like it's a fun like sex story.
I don't think this isn't fun. I'm more so talking about like the story of our life. Mm. Like the fact that this is a chapter is really fucked up.
Oh, yeah, no, it's.
I don't know if you're going to leave any of this in here, but like.
No, it's fucked up.
And you should. Maybe fine. Like, but that's what's on my mind.
This is fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe that should be the new title. Grief Sedate About Orgasm. This is fucked up.
I like it. I accept it.
So
you were cleared for sex, but it was complicated mm-hmm. for all the reasons we listed and others. We're also still living where we're living. We still have a daughter to raise. Jesus Christ. But on top of that, sex got different. I'll let you take it away from here.
So sex got different. So y'all. Okay. So sex does get better after each pregnancy. They say that. And apparently it still gets better after each pregnancy, even if you lose the baby, which is fucked up. But here we are. And so I'm not even playing. It's really fucked up. And I.
Go ahead, girl. Just say it. Just get it out.
Y'all, I laugh now.
It's weird.
After
I it's weird. I'll let you finish. It's weird.
I laugh after our orgasm because I'm like, this is so trippy. This is so.
She lying. She said she laugh after orgasm. But she be laughing during sex. Now, for anyone listening, if you are making sweet, sweet love to your partner, please try not to laugh, man or woman, as you do it. As a man, if you're having sex with a woman and you just start busting out laughing, she's going to think something is wrong with you. Women, if you start laughing while you're having sex with your man, he's going to think that something is wrong with him. I'm just putting it out there from the perspective of a male and a female who are in a relationship as we are, because that is what I'm talking about right now. Randy don't see nothing wrong with it.
I couldn't figure out. I
thought that she was trying to prepare to leave me. I was like, oh, she don't want to be together no more because she's just
like, you okay? I was like, no, what are you doing? Keep going.
So what the fuck you mean? Keep going.
Y'all, I had months and months of not being touched, months and months of not having fun.
And your reaction,
not
Joker,
having pleasure,
is to laugh?
Yes.
Fuck out of here.
I was having so much fun. I was just letting myself be. Mm. And I explained that to you.
And this is the origin story of the Joker.
Mikey.
The same. Continue.
No, I mean, because in one of the Batman universes, the mom cracks.
Yes. And I thought that's what this was.
I can't stop laughing. Does it bother you?
It did. Severely. Severely.
You thought I was laughing at you?
That is not a pleasure response. Correction. That is not a regular one that I have experienced before. That's not true. Like the way that you did it, that is not a.
How did I do it, Mike?
You really just bust out laughing as if a joke was just told. I'm like, what the fuck? Who was talking to you? What did you hear? We told a story about here before when we were in college and Rush Hour 2 was playing in the background.
We weren't having sex. We were just making out.
We weren't. We were making out. But like the scene came on. He was like, when was the last time you had sex?
It's a year
of the rat. And Randy bust out like she couldn't.
It's so
like,
funny. It's so funny.
And so because we was like in the middle of about to do some stuff, it just threw some things off. But you bust out laughing harder than that moment in the middle of us doing things. And like, so I'm thinking,
I was
she
enjoying myself.
That's not how I felt. That's not what it seemed like the first time.
Me?
I believed you afterwards, but I'm just telling you as far as
what made you believe me?
Afterwards, when I had time to like get my thoughts together. Like, yo, that just happened. That just happened. She think I'm a joke.
No, that's not.
She think I'm a joke. This is where I am now. And this is who you, this is all you can be. Like, damn, I gotta start thinking about how we're gonna split up the items in this basement. Like, obviously, I'll just let her stay here.
I was really enjoying myself, and I do be really enjoying myself. And I hadn't realized how much I hadn't realized how much I was like blocking like pleasure receptors. I hadn't even realized how like I wasn't opening myself up to the extreme wide ocean universe. I don't know the word for it, the void of pleasure, but in a good way. Mm. Because, I just hadn't realized it. And there's just something about being in deep grief that really does teach you about joy and being grateful and
which is
pleasure.
Really odd.
It is. Because
grief blunts everything for a period.
I think it blunts everything when you are when you are in denial. We were in, I feel like, and I say it to myself over and over again because I'm not perfect at this. Because there are some days I would distract myself to death to not feel my feelings. But mm-hmm. when I feel my feelings, when I feel whatever grief is trying to make me feel, because it's trying to get my attention about something. And when it gets my attention and then I pay attention to it instead of trying to distract myself out of it, once I get over that hump, which may take days and hours, I don't know. Like once I get over that hump, I feel like I feel like open, like it feels like something in me has been expanded or broadened. And so now when we have sex and when we engage in play and pleasure, I can really be in it because now I'm not so afraid of feeling sadness and anger and
I thought that you were there already.
I thought I was too. I really did. I thought I was like, oh, I'm like, but I hadn't. I wasn't. There's like, I feel like having Noble, him being in our lives, him being born, it literally cracked me open. It literally cracked me open. And it like made me realize all the things that I do want and all the things that I was like neglecting or acting like I didn't want. I want to, when I have sex, I want to have fun. And we do have fun. We were always having fun. But it was like, this is so much fucking fun. This is so good. Oh my God. Like, I just want to laugh. I'm just so happy.
And I love you.
Crack up. Okay.
That was a snippet. All of that. Randy, rewind the last 15 seconds as a snippet.
Okay. All right, babe.
Oh, that wasn't it, everyone. another thing that made sex different, and I was told that this was a thing after you have a child.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, like some women just react a little differently, but you did a complete 180. That is the opposite direction than what you have normally done. And so it just takes more work for you to orgasm. I have to work harder for Randy.
Technically, you don't.
I do. I literally do.
You own. Okay. So what do you mean by that?
Meaning there are many, many types of women who receive pleasure in many different types of ways. Obviously, science tells us that there is one area on the woman's body that is more sensitive than other parts. And if you stimulate that area, then they will finish.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that that's all you required. I have dated women before you. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Most women are perfectly fine with just penetration, and they will come from that. Or maybe not most women in the world, but the women that I have done.
Maybe they lie.
You were one of the ones that was like, actually, no, I'm more this type of stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
You have completely switched, and now you prefer.
Not prefer.
You actually just get more out of penetration now.
I don't know if I get more out of it.
You finish for it.
I think.
You finish faster.
I do finish faster with penetration.
Ain't no family members listening to this episode.
The problem is, not even a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You could give me head, right? And mm-hmm. when I was tired, and when it, I was it energetic, it did not matter.
90 seconds. Yeah, I did a timer.
You did
one
do
time
a timer.
Just to see.
But
mm-hmm.
now when my cup is empty, but we still both want to.
Nigga be down there saying ABCs for a good hour. I'm spelling
it's just
essays.
Not
one time I wrote the story of Moby Dick.
Mikey, no, you didn't.
Call me Ishmael.
Mikey, okay. So what I'm saying is I think what's happening is also because I'm learning how not to intellectualize all the time and overthink mm-hmm. all the time. When you're giving when it's clitoral stimulation for me, I can make myself an orgasm.
Now you just make me work though.
In collaboration with you.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm doing this new thing.
Where you are edging me.
Where I am being present. And I am not. I am being present. And I'm not thinking up in my head. I'm not in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, like the other night, we had that really good sex. You remember mm-hmm. that?
Yes, I do. Before I was there.
It was really great. And you were like, I had a dream. Was that real? And I was like, it was real. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That night, when we were about to do it, I mm-hmm. told my body. I said, I'm not about to rush you. This nigga gonna work for it. We gonna make it
wow.
work. I'm not gonna help him.
And this
I'm
is
just
the final
see.
Episode
I'm
of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. Thank you all for joining us.
I'm just gonna see what it's like for the process. Mike, what I'm saying is, I've been enjoying the process of our sex lately.
You've been fucking with me on purpose.
I have not.
You just said that you were
this
fucking
with
me.
This is last night where I made the conscious decision.
So last
decision.
Night you made a conscious decision.
Not last
decision
night, the last time we had, you know what I mean.
So is that what you're saying?
I said, I'm gonna see what he can do on his own. And you, Mikey, do you, it was good.
But I always do what I need to
yes.
do. On my, but so why would you make it harder?
I wasn't trying to make it harder.
But you just said.
I was trying to. Leave my body. I want it to be present. That's what I'm saying. It's not harder.
You want to be present by taking a step back and being like, let him do work.
I just want it. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Mike.
I'll give you a chance to clarify, please.
I don't know why I like penetration more now.
Mm-hmm.
Not even more, but I don't know why that is what is getting me. I don't know. Maybe because it, I don't know. It's engaging. It feels like, you know, it's me and you. But when we're doing head stuff, it's like, you know, Mikey's doing his thing and then it's my turn. I do my thing and maybe sometimes we do the thing together. But when it's like us, it feels like we're like, I know it's like a dance now. No, you're not feeling
this.
It was
always like that with me. That's why I'm so confused.
I don't know.
You know, I've been dancing by myself.
No,
so I just be dancing
Babe,
alone.
I cannot explain what having your son did to my
so
body.
Maybe before it was the electric slide where we are dancing in tandem around each other. And we finished the song at the same time. Maybe now it's more tango.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, tango is sensual.
Yeah.
It's like, because our grief, do you not feel like our grief? I know you feel like this, but do you agree that our grief has brought us closer?
Yes.
Not in like a trauma bonding way.
No, just. Yeah.
It's like past trauma, but it's like.
Yo, there's something beyond trauma bonding, y'all. I don't know the word for it, what it's called yet.
It's just love.
Yeah, there's something else.
Like, it's like, no, I really fucking love you. And this is the only thing in the world that we are the only two people that can talk to each other about that has gone through this specific thing, this specific birth, this specific pregnancy together. Like, you're my friend. And now I feel like after Noble and us having to, like, man, just be in it, especially the early days, weeks, and months, it just brought us closer. So maybe that's why I'm into, like, now I'm like, no, I want you, like, on me. I want to, like, be on you. I want to, like, be in connection. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you cleaned that up nicely. All right. Okay. You want me to be on? All right. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, I cut off your point. So I'm working harder. Yes, working harder to get ready.
So Randy is making me work harder. Well, that's fine. Nigga ain't shy.
I'm afraid of no work. Are you upset?
Nah. It is what it is. I enjoyed beating records. Mm. But if now you are leaning more back into the whole, all right, we could take our time, then perfectly fine. Just remember that that's what you signed up for. That's my default setting.
It is.
So we can go back to my default. You perfectly
I remember
fine
those
with me.
Days.
Okay. About to be nothing but 2-hour sessions around here, y'all. The next sex episode, we'll catch y'all up on how that's going. This whole shit done went beyond what I thought we was going to do. So
really?
This
what
is,
you
oh, yeah.
We
I don't
do?
Know. We didn't talk about clitoral stimulation and penetration and the differences in vast ocean of pleasure
well,
now.
This is having sex while grieving. Coming to you live.
Let me talk
okay.
like this now. We really do not give a fuck no more.
I mean, why?
Why? It's a good point. For anybody still listening, thank you all so much for hanging in there.
Our advice.
Oh, yeah. We have advice on this one.
Our advice.
We don't give advice, y'all.
We don't.
But we do have something for this.
Our advice for grieving couples.
What you got, love?
Okay. So I had to write this down. Pleasure hurts, healing hurts. Mm. Pleasure hurts, healing hurts. But and living bodies want to live and we were made to feel more than pain. And it's okay to feel good and want to feel good. And it's okay that that makes you sad. And it's complicated. Because it is complicated. And I said, grief has taught me that binaries are dead. Everything is gray. There is nothing good or bad. There is nothing right or wrong. It's all gray. It's all complicated. There are a bunch of contradictions. It don't make no sense how you can be horny after watching a baby die. Like,
and
don't make no
being
sense.
So deeply
and
sad.
Being hungry and having to use the bathroom and laughing. And none of it makes sense. It's like, how is life still lifing? How is this duality still like, how is it all just so complicated? And so that is my advice. It's just that, like, to know that it's okay. Like, it's not okay, which is your point. It's not okay, but it's okay
it
to like
you're saying, like, it is what it is.
I just go back to my earlier point. There is something about grief that grief is teaching me. It's not done, but it's something it's teaching me about joy and pleasure and play. It's something there that often makes me emotional because it's like there. It's a part of me that really I don't know. And my therapist asked me. I said something to her, something similar to this, and she was like, "Do you think you would have like thought this or became this type of person without Noble?" And I was like, no. And without him here, because there's something also about having our babies here that you know, the lessons that we're supposed to get still find us. Like Drew is teaching us stuff every day.
Yeah.
But there is something different about having a baby that is not around physically that forces you to be a bit more introspective. And it forces you to be a bit more
like really does like that's a good forces. It does force you.
Like it's a,
this is none of this shit is voluntary and none of this is planned.
Yeah, with Drew it was voluntary. It's like, oh, I don't have to do this self work, self development, anything because I got a baby to feed and she's not sleeping and I could take like 2 months off and come back to this. But Noble is like, no, like there is no newborn, but you had a baby. What do you do? You know, like it's a mind fuck. And that's okay. Because apparently you could still be in a mind fuck. You could still be in the twilight zone and want to have sex.
Yeah.
And have good sex.
Great.
And it's crazy. Do you think the sex has gotten better?
I love you, and we all have spoken highly about how high quality your vagina is.
So, I mean, since Noble.
The sex itself has been... Whenever I think that we can't get more intense, I'm like, oh, shit, there was something else. I'm like, but how? I thought that, like, damn near having asthma attacks, high, unable to, like, breathe sometimes, uncontrollable shaking, major, like, big sweats, cramps, after, like, marathon sex matches were, like, how, you know, that's the height of it. That's it. That's when you, like, you're done. Like, you've reached, like, the height of it when y'all both are finishing at the same time regularly. It's really, really heightened and intense, and there's scratching, and there's... But there's a level beyond all of that shit. And I didn't know. I was unaware.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. I think that... I'm wondering what it's going to be like when we have sex at 70 now. Now that's where I'm at.
70?
We're going to be old as shit.
You just turned 31.
I know. Ew. Giving out my...
Boy, okay.
You don't never say a man's age.
What?
I don't know. You know, women be saying it.
Okay. And your advice for grieving couples.
I don't like your judgment tone.
I'm just asking you.
My advice is simple. It's going to be okay, May.
Mikey.
This is a reference to Hustle and Flow. Remember when he put her hands on the
Mikey,
steering wheel?
Mikey, can you?
No, that's a part of my...
Is it?
No, but that's what I'm just talking now.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you was just playing with me.
Man... It's going to be okay. Or it won't. It ultimately comes down to you two pushing through the awkward of it and talking. And what I mean by that is, at some point, the ice has to be broken from the numbness for someone to get to the feels. And so I think that that ice was broken when we first had sex, which is odd. It's an odd way of breaking the ice, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in a space where I could, again, communicate feelings because I was numbing myself and avoiding them because they were overwhelming, honestly. Mm-hmm. I started first stuffing my feelings down in the hospital when he was still alive, when he was on the support, because I was about to break and destroy that whole little bathroom
mm-hmm.
that I needed to go in to cry for a minute to get myself together to come back. And ever since then, I had just been pushing stuff down more and more and more in order to just try to find some type of control in the space that I was in. It's really easy to disconnect, dissociate, and just lose yourself in the fog of grief and loss. It's much easier than the work, but that's always the case. And when it comes to connecting with your partner, at least in my experience, trying and failing is better than not trying at all. So try to find some little faith that it will eventually be okay, May. That's my advice.
That was deep, baby.
Thank you, love.
Do you feel like it's easier now to talk about your feelings again? It's been a few months. It has been almost eight months.
Easier to talk about? No. Easier to feel or better to feel? Yes. Mm. It's not as overwhelming as it used to be. It's just whelming. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
But it's not gotten me to, I'm no longer at the point where I'm like, I'll start shutting down at the thought, or I'll start mentally going back to the day and all the worst parts of the day and my worst, saddest, lowest feelings of the day. I'm not there anymore immediately when it's brought up. Now I'm just like, okay, what am I talking about in the context of this conversation right now? Cause I can do that.
Yeah.
And if other feelings start to come up, I'll more so start to unpack them slowly, piece by piece, instead of just being hit by it all at once. So I am dealing with it better comparatively than I did in the early days. But this is not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Thank you.
Thank you. As always, it is great to talk to you about this stuff.
Yeah. So engagement, y'all. How does your relationship with pleasure change in times of grief?
Are you weird like us?
Or are you weird like every human?
That's deep. I wasn't even on the thing.
Let us know.
Shoot us an email at blackmillmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at
770-750-4098.
Those are actual Atlanta numbers. Atlanta added a new area code, by the way, you know.
470?
Something else.
What?
Something disgusting. Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
Was it like 8 something?
I think it's like, I don't know. Whatever it is, we are not recognizing it. It's not real. If your number don't start with 404, you're not from... Other numbers is not.
Our number doesn't start 404.
404 is not. If it's not 404 or 770, it is not Atlanta. Or hit us up on social media and let us know what you are unlearning about grief and pleasure.
All right.
Fight or flight.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's fight or flight.
All right, sir.
Thank you for singing us in, Ebony. I appreciate it.
What is your fight?
I think I'll be having a song playing in my head and
do
stuff.
You?
Yeah, every time. Yeah. It's my shit. It's my shit.
It's catchy.
My
name, my that's why it's a jingle.
It's a great jingle.
Yeah.
It's like a Jingle 2000 jingle. Like Jamie Foxx would be proud of that jingle. Are you not old enough to know that?
Mikey, yes.
Yeah, from Jingles 2000.
Mikey,
Jingles
we
2000
are
Jingles
a
3000.
Year and a half apart.
I know that you weren't allowed to watch certain stuff. I don't know if you watched the Jamie Foxx show.
I can watch
the
Jamie Foxx show.
I didn't know.
It wasn't inappropriate. It was corny. I didn't like it.
You
love
didn't like Jamie
Foxx.
What?
It was corny. I was like, he always trying to get this girl. Did he get this girl? And they breaking up. I was confused. It was a lot. I was like,
man, he spent multiple seasons not getting that girl. He didn't get that girl forever.
I know, but it was a lot. The whole thing was about him getting this girl.
No, it wasn't. It was about his music dream.
Very anticlimactic. And he could sing. And I was like, this is great. I loved all the times he sang. And I was like, why isn't this a show?
And it was the show.
It was not.
I don't know what episodes you saw. This one, I don't know if you saw all the episodes.
I'm sure I didn't.
Because now it sounds like you only saw a certain story arc
maybe
on the
I,
show.
Maybe I didn't. I mean, I was also a child. What year did the show
That's
come
what
out?
I'm saying.
So. I was a child, but mm-hmm. I still saw the show. And know the reference.
But just make sure. I don't know what you know or don't know. I know one thing.
Why are you talking
that my
like
fight
that?
Is about to be respected.
Okay, Mike, what's your fight? Come on.
All right, y'all. Simply put, Randy be fucking up.
Mikey, what?
You be fucking up, man. Look, let me tell you something about yourself. You're fine.
I know.
You don't know. You don't know until after you've done key things. Because before them key things happen, you'll be walking around like you know you're fine. You'll be acting like you know you're fine. Sometimes you might catch stuff in the mirror and you'd be like, may cross your mind, but you don't be walking around with the arrogance that you should walk around with knowing how fine you are until after you get your hair cut. Y'all, Randy let it go 4-5 months.
No, I didn't. It was
Randy
like two,
cut
three
her
nights.
Hair since we lost Noble. Let's talk
That's
about
that. That's not true.
How long has it been since you cut your hair?
I got my hair cut in December before we left for Denver.
What month is it?
It is March.
Absolutely unnecessary. Unacceptable. So Randy needs to go back to making sure she gets a haircut every 3 weeks because Randy got her haircut and she just looked fine.
I do.
But she recognizes it now and then she starts acting like she knows it, which is how you should be all the time anyway. I'm not here to tell you, the police, how you feel about yourself. However, I know that you know that when you look good, you feel good. And I need you to continue to take care of yourself in that way because it was looking, y'all, like Randy was about to lock her hair.
No, it wasn't.
Randy had one more week and that shit was lockable length. And she was going to be right up there with Drew in the same damn length of locks. I think that you are absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I loved when you first cut your hair because it was the first time in a very long time. At least since college that you can get like that access to your face. I can just see your face. And you look so happy after you got your hair. And there's also an energy that comes off you. So when you came home from the barbershop today, I got
you were
hard.
Very happy.
I was like, look at you.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was very happy.
You were
I was
very
ecstatic.
Happy.
I was like, you look great. I'm really glad that you did this for yourself. Now I have to figure out how to do the thing that all the rappers talked about when I was younger. About how you're supposed to always take care of your girl, make sure that her hair done, nails done. You like that's the nigga's job. The nigga gotta make sure there's some like money set aside for something. So I'm gonna figure out how to do this to where it is a line item in the budget to make sure that you get every 3 weeks at least the ability to get a haircut or styled however you want. Because I love you.
I love you.
I do just need you to continue to make this a priority. It's not just you. It's a me thing I'm working on as well with wearing clothes. Excuse me, with wearing different clothes. I'm instead of the same thing all the time. So, we've recently donated a lot of clothes so that we have to see ourselves in something new. Gotten clothes that fit, throwing out things that don't fit because we need to picture ourselves a certain. We just need to see something different on us.
Yeah.
And I think that your haircut just kind of inspired that with me. And I finally threw out old sweats and old underwear and old socks and old like just old things that I was really comfortable with that could have lasted another year or three.
No, it couldn't have.
It could have.
No, it couldn't have.
Look, I have thick thighs and when they rub together, they cause holes.
Mike, Drew right. plays with the holes in his clothes.
Drew be disrespectful. She saw the hole in my sock and she'll start tickling. She be like, look, daddy, you're poor.
Mikey, stop.
I'm like, it's your fault, little nigga. Anyway,
Mikey,
I don't say it out loud.
There's an episode about Drew coming soon. Don't you worry, y'all.
But I love you.
I love you too.
And I just want you to continue taking care of yourself.
I'm not going to fight you because I was looking a little haggard.
You saw it.
I was looking a little haggard.
You did look like Hagrid.
No, not. I not even like what, like wetting it, you know, usually because it'll shrink back up, and like conditioning it, it wasn't like responding to the things.
Because it was like, what the fuck is you on? What are you trying to do?
It wasn't responding to the drag. It wasn't doing any of the things that it was supposed to be doing. But no, you're right. I do care about how I look. I do see myself in my head a certain way, but I do not act that way for lots of reasons. But I'm realizing, learning, that I have learned to like limit myself and shrink myself and deny my true Leo traits because of how I think it would make me look. I'm like, fuck all that. They don't keep babies here.
It don't.
And it don't make me happy. So I'm going to start walking around here like I like how I look, and I'm going to invest in it, and I'm going to get my hair cut and not treat it like it's like this secondhand priority when it's really,
it's first. It's top tier.
It's the priority.
It's like the second thing on the list behind shitting in the mornings. Yes.
Because it was rough. And she had to like pick it before she cut it. And you know, I'm dead. And I was like, ouch. That hurt.
But because of the extra growth, the texture of your hair has changed a little bit. It looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, no, it's not really that bad. You know, when anybody puts that in front of anything, it's like, oh, this is awful. She's never had to use the pick. Usually she used like the skinny comb, but like she had like a pick. And then she cut it. And it took a long time. Like I left in like 30 minutes when usually she'd be in and out of like 15. And I was like, oh. So, yeah, I'm not going to fight you because you're right. I'm going to act like I got some sense. And I don't want to be no frumpy wife. I'm already short. You know, I can't just be out here. I got to like dress up the mini.
She's doing mad shit with her hands and neck.
I got to do things. And because of me, it's about you, too, because we're married and we're together. And we want other people to look at us and to look at and be like, oh, yo, man, yo, wife, you know, we like that. That was up. Y'all cute. But it's also for me. You're right. And I don't be acting like that. So I'm gonna do better. Plus your son be nudging me too. I just want you to know that. He be up there nudging me.
Oh, he would have been saying shit directly because I would have raised
like,
him to do
take
so.
Take care of yourself, mom. Wash your face.
You be seeing how I treat
brush
my mother.
Your teeth. Right.
The moment my mother do anything nice with her, you gotta hype that shit up.
Even Drew wanna tell you about your daughter before we go on. I use my confession. I got the face steamer that I talked about in the Wubble Up a Dub Dub episode that we did, but I had not opened it or used it because I wasn't prioritizing pleasure play or self-care, really. But I've been using it, y'all, and it is wonderful. My skin feels so soft. The oils and serums feels like they're like really getting in there. It's wonderful. Okay. Everybody get a face steamer. It's wonderful. Anyway, because I know we're on time. Your daughter, I went to go say goodnight to her, and she could tell that I had done my face things. She's like, oh, mommy, you put... You moisturize your face, shea butter on your face. You look so nice. And I was like, thanks, Drew. She just said I look so nice, but she just couldn't stop touching my face because I was like, Drew, stop acting like I'd be walking around here crusty.
Yeah, she was like, nah, mommy, your face was dirty before.
And it was dark, and she could tell. She was like, mommy, your face.
It's nighttime, and only light on in that room is her stars. So for her to be able to tell how clear your face is hilarious.
I was like, dang, I really must have been out here looking
dirty.
All right. PDA. It's my first.
It is your first.
Okay. So, our bed broke. And
more on that story. Join Patreon because we're going to put up a video because it's actually funny.
Our bed broke a few months ago. Okay. But
why are you lying to the people? This bed broke last year or the year before that.
No, it didn't, Mike. You just put the jack under it. So, it broke for real this time a few months ago.
Yes.
And a few months ago, and Mikey had to go to the car.
And I had to pull my car jack out of the car, like the regular one that comes with your car, like the X jack.
And he had to put it under the bed to make it stand up.
I had to put it under the mid beam to hold up the beam so that the side planks would continue to stay in place. Because,
you know, we was grieving on a budget and we couldn't. It was like, we can't do this right now. We got like other shit to do and to like, we can't do it right now. So we put the jack up.
We should do an episode about how many times the bed broke and the reason behind it. Because I remember every single time. It's always my fault
it's
when the bed breaks.
It's an old bed. We got it when we first moved in. We weren't even married. We were engaged. We weren't married.
Yeah, we were having engaged sex.
We've had all the babies on this bed.
Yes.
It's time. It's done this thing. So now, not even the jack is holding the bed up. Jack is
so
done.
The jack won't stay in place, y'all, because we have like wood floors. So the jack slid to the right and the whole left side of the bed sank and only is holding up the right side, which I gave up to Randy now so that she would be more comfortable.
Okay, so then he manages to kind of get it lifted, right? But then the bed starts randomly.
Slowly.
No, remember that I was sitting, minding my business, and it just dropped. Like, the bed just dropped. So
we removed
super chaotic.
We removed the wood from in between it and the beams. And so now our mattress is actually on the floor.
We're on the floor until we get our new bed, which will be soon. But for now,
yes,
grieving on a budget, we are on the floor. And
but because we're not like brokies, right? Like, this is not just a mattress on the floor. We still have the bed frame surrounding.
So it looks like real, like, high tech, sophisticated.
It looks stupid as fuck, y'all. It looks dumb as shit. We're going to share the picture in close friends.
Maybe.
Because why not?
Maybe.
It'll be on Patreon. We'll share it in close.
Maybe. But no, but it's been great. Usually this stuff 3 years ago, this would have put us, we would have been so depressed. We would have been like, oh no, why me? Another thing is happening to us.
We ain't got time for that shit no more.
Why does God hate us?
We already know why.
We're never going to. Yeah, so now it's just like, okay.
I'm like, all right, nigga, it's time to go ahead and get it.
And I really, you know what that is?
Growth.
That is growth. And I love growing with you because it's okay.
I love the spin that you have put on.
It's okay. And it's been so much fun sleeping on the floor with you. And it's been like,
y'all, we dead ass get out the bed like we getting out of a crib.
It's like a fort.
It's so hard
it's
to
like
get
a
out
fort.
Of
it. Drew loves it. Drew
does love it. It reminds her of her crib.
Drew's having the time of her life. She's three. She's completely happy. Groot is eyeing the bed.
I keep looking over here. This shit's stupid as fuck, y'all.
But I love you. And I love it. And I'm grateful for our bed on the floor together. And I'm grateful for this combo we about to have when we get this king that we've been eyeing in our heads. Where we really going to get it this time. Because we got to. There is no...
we have no choice.
We can't. The Jack said no. And the Bean said
we're
going
to go to that drug dealing company... mattress firm. We're gonna be the first people ever to buy a mattress from mattress firm.
And that place is always very clean.
It's because that's where they store.
Okay. And that's my PDA. I love you. This is fun. Happy to do life with you and all the little things that just happen because it's just life. And we've grown because 3 years ago we would have been depressed. And we are not. There are so many other things to be depressed about.
No, yeah, everything is small
now. This is small, so I love you. Okay.
I love you, too. And it is great sleeping on the floor with you again. Just like college.
Having to put your mattress on the ground because you didn't want to have sex and you know, irritate your neighbors. And then that time, my mattress really was on the ground because I didn't have a room yet. But
good times.
That was 8 years ago. Your turn.
So I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love you. The first one.
Mm-hmm.
We did a reel.
We did do a reel.
That has been shared now on social media. And I'll just keep it quick. It was actually really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
The laughing that y'all see happening is because we're stupid. So there's music playing over it. You can't hear the shit that we're saying to each other. We did the lift challenge where you just have to lift your partner different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We did deadlift, what?
Hip thrusters.
Squat, hip thrust, and
bench press.
And it was hilarious.
Shout out to Ebby and Jamal.
We really appreciate y'all.
Ebony texted me. She was like, there's really no excuse to not do this. I was like, what did you use to prop it up? She was like, I used my tripod, but you know that you can use anything.
Because it's just a phone.
And I did not text her back. And
But we did it. At first I put the question out there because if people answer, then you kind of like have to.
Yeah.
But we did it. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was just fun to do something fun with
it
you.
It was fun
and
to
like,
play.
Laugh and play. Yes. Because we haven't in a while.
Yeah.
We were saying a lot of goofy shit to each other. I swear to God, we not actually weak, but the amount of laughter that we were doing made us struggle to do some of the stuff.
And we definitely like haven't touched each other in that way mm-hmm. in a long time. Usually when we're touching, it's kissing, hello, goodbye, good morning, good night, mm-hmm. sex. But not really play. Or like running from Drew, you know.
Yeah, we don't play, fight, or wrestle anymore.
Yeah, we used to. We used to like play together. And so this was really nostalgic.
It was. I just really enjoyed doing it with you. It was fun. You're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm stupid. Groot's stupid.
Yes, you are.
So if y'all haven't seen that, it's on our Instagram page. Please check it out and just laugh at us because
I hope that
I had fun
to
with you.
Link it. I had fun.
I had fun with you. So that's the first thing. The second piece of PDA. This is specifically aimed at you.
Mm-hmm.
So you are in full swing in your program, which you are talking about on the podcast.
Yes, I'm in a business coaching program and a podcast managing program coming up.
So you're on like your big girl shit. Mm-hmm. I'm just really, really proud of you.
Thank you.
This is not an ad. I bought you a watch a while ago.
Yes.
From a black owned company called Tally and Twine.
It's very nice.
I don't know if anybody from that company listens to us. I have reached out to them like multiple times, like letting them know like this shit fire. Like they actually have really great watches. They are very stylish, which they already know. Again, this is not an ad.
Yeah, they haven't paid us to say this.
They have not. I just like the shit. I love watches, but they have really like quality watches. So I got Randy like a, you know, pearl face watch with a red band. I was like, it was like 2 years ago. I was like, this just screams I'm about my business. And I just wanted to congratulate you on like your business. And so you wore it. You wore it today. And it made me really, really happy. Because you're the shit.
Thank you.
Like, I like her taking on, like, you know, like, I'm going to wear my nice shit. We're not supposed to wear our nicest shit when we die, you know?
I know.
Carmen shared a post, like, I think, like, 2 years ago, something on social media that, like...
Carmen is our friend.
Yeah. It was like, black people have to stop doing this thing where we keep saving our nice shit for when we're trying to say, like, to do something with our nice shit.
Yeah.
I just started wearing my nice shit. And it's just nice to see you put on your nice shit.
It's nice to wear nice shit. I've been putting on perfume after I take a shower.
You know, like a little thing.
I'm like, why am I waiting to go? I'm going to go to bed.
What are you waiting? Why are we holding on to this stuff?
Yeah.
Why are we holding on to
this
stuff?
That's a nice, that thing's saved Versace. It's a little simple pieces mom got Versace? Me from. I think it is. I don't know, but it do.
It's good. My baby got Versace.
And I still got my Beyonce perfume that Drew has found. Anyway, I'm listening.
That's it. I love you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
For Mike. Being on your grown woman shit. And wearing your grown women attire.
Thank you.
And taking on your power role. And like doing this shit. You're doing great.
Thank you.
That's it. And just don't forget me when you blow up.
I won't stay.
Remember that the point of this is for me to be
a stay at home dad. Yes, 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 yes. I know.
With my cars and my hobbies. As you do all the working, I take care of the home.
I know.
You know I'd be like a fire interior decorator if that's all I had to do.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hey.
Okay. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman. All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions, a podcast management company.
The podcast management company. We are now and still available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all your favorite streaming services.
Mikey.
Rate us.
5 stars.
What's wrong with you?
Why are you talking like that?
That's my professional ad at the end of the
thing
voice.
Why do you wait to the end to use your professional voice?
Because I'm not professional in the middle and the beginning.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles. Details in our show notes.
Thanks, Ebony. To support our podcast, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
There you'll get unedited episodes. Edited and free episodes, definitely. I know y'all tired of these ads. Go ahead, I'm going over there. Zoom meetings with us and more.
Yes, there's a lot of more. Check it out. We're definitely worth the look.
I deserve to be with somebody as fly as
me.
Somebody that's
fly.
And be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. All us on social media platforms, on Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
Unavailable
@_the Chapmans.
Thank you again for listening, y'all.
Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.